Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Magazine. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
When you have 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 6, I have the word. I'm ready to receive it. Verse number 6 says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your care upon him, for he cared for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Amen. May God of the blessing those hearers and doers of his word. The grass wither, the flower fade, but the word of God stands forever. Amen. Amen. Glory be to his name. Amen. I've had trouble getting the title. I know the content is more important, but some people put a lot of emphasis on their titles, and I've gotten to the age where I don't put that much emphasis on the title, but, you know, I just give you the content. Amen. But the title, a tag or topic, a thought that I would tag to this message is, don't worry, he cares. Amen. Amen. Tell your neighbor, don't worry, he cares. Amen. He, meaning God, cares for you. Amen. Again, going back to worry, because for some reason, when we taught about this and preached about this weeks ago, in a row, that somebody might have lost what they caught on those Sundays. So apparently the Holy Spirit is saying that we need to talk about this again. And today I want you to be encouraged to know that if the Holy Spirit is concerned and giving you a word, that he intends for you to come out of worry. Amen. And he wants to put you in a place of trust. You can't worry and trust God at the same time. Amen. Amen. You can't have faith and have fear at the same time. Amen. And so we are in 1 Peter. And Peter, as we know, was a person who let's talk about pre-Pentecost Peter. Pre-Pentecost Peter was a fisherman who was fortunate enough to have Jesus to come into his place of business and talk to him and ask him, can I use your boat as a pulpit? And Peter said, have at it. We hadn't caught no fish. Maybe we can get some use out of this boat anyway. And afterwards, Jesus told him, he said, why don't you cast your nets out? And then Peter said, now we've toiled all night. I don't know how we're going to pay the bills because we hadn't caught anything. So he had some worry going on. But he said, nevertheless, at thy word, and he cast out one net. Come to find out, as he cast out that net was so full that it began to break and also began to sink the boat. So he had to call for some help to be able to get his fish. Some of us are like Peter. We worry, and we got Jesus right there on board. He gives us a word and we don't trust his word entirely. But we do it because through the motions we know that we ought to do it. Not knowing that he already prepared something for us. Amen? So don't worry. This Peter also worried about John. He said, what's going to happen to him, Jesus, whenever, you know, before you come back? Jesus said, don't worry about him. Let me tell you about you. Amen. Some of us are like Peter. Amen. We're worried about the next person. And Jesus is saying, don't worry about the next person. Just think about yourself. Amen. Not only that, but Peter was worried that Jesus would not be able to make it through the arrest by the Roman soldiers under the influence of the Sanhedrin. And so what he did, he carried him a sword, and he was worried about whether or not Jesus was going to make it through. And he decided that when they arrested Jesus, he pulled out his sword. And he tried to cut a man's head off. I know you say he cut his ear off. He did. But in the process of trying to cut this man's head off, he tried to duck and caught his ear. And Jesus told him, Peter, put up the sword, because they that live by it will die by it. Amen. Same Peter cursed the same night that Jesus told him before the cock crows. Said, you're going to deny me three times. And Peter cursed and lied. Peter would cut you. He would cuss you. And he would lie to you before Pentecost. But the same Peter who wrote this right here, the same Peter, after Pentecost, preached one message, got 3,000 people saved at one time. Goes to show you, don't worry about where you've been and what you do now. Just know that God has something special in store for you on the later. Same Peter was arrested and put in jail. In the same situation, his friend James was put in jail, and James died. Under the same conditions, here's Peter not worried about it because he know the Lord will make a way. While sitting in the same cell under the same circumstances that his friend, who was just as righteous as he was, saved just like he was, died under, he came out of the jail and the doors opened by themselves. Goes to show you that you can't worry because something happened to someone else. The devil will tell you, just like it happened to them, it's going to happen to you. You can't worry about that. So don't worry. I could go on and on, but I'm going to try to get in the word because we're on a time schedule for this. Amen. It says, first of all, Peter is talking to the elders and he, you know, telling us how we ought to act and what we ought to do. He's trying to get us to understand that we are not the Lord over the Lord's heritage, but we are to make sure we understand we're under shepherds, that we'll do his will and how he wants it done. Amen? And if we do it well, God will reward us. Amen. Then he goes on to talk about how God, and we talked about this the other week, how God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the what? The humble. He resists, or he will fight against. That word resist means that he will fight against. Amen. He will fight against the ones who are proud. Amen. But he will give grace unto those who will humble themselves. He'll give unmerited favor. Not only that, but he will enable you to be able to do things that you can't do on your own. Now then in verse 6, let's get to that. I'm anxious to get to verse 6. But he says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the what? Mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So one first thing we ought to understand here is that God expects us to submit. We have to submit to what? Submit to his will. But notice what he said, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Now, when we start talking about the hand of God, you got to understand the hand of God, the word hand there also means the instrument of God. We need to humble ourselves under whatever instrument that God has given for us to be able to be blessed in the earth, or to be equipped in the earth with what God wants us to have. Amen. And so he says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Now, some people think that they don't have to humble or submit themselves to one another or to anybody else. They think that all I need is, as long as I got King Jesus, they Vicky Wine and Saints. As long as I got King Jesus, I don't need nobody else. But the Bible tells us clearly that we ought to submit ourselves one to another. Now, the hand of God, I want you to understand something. The hand of God, symbolically, let's look at it symbolically. Can we do that? The hand of God is the gifts of God. It is the instruments of God. That's what hand means. And the instrument of God is going to be people such as your apostles, the thumb, the prophets. Amen. The evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, those are the instruments of God that you have to submit to and listen to. In the word, when we submit, we have to listen to them and submit and hear what they say. Don't tune them out. Don't push them away, but listen to the word of God. Accept the word and know that they are preaching or speaking on behalf of God. Amen. Under the influence of the Holy Spirit. So the hand of God has some fingers. The apostle, which is the thumb, can touch on any of the ministry gifts. The prophet, which it says, thou art the man. Amen. Remember Nathan went unto David and said, thou art the man. He points and he can point you in the direction of God. Then you have the evangelist, which is the longest finger on the hand, which reaches farther than anything else. Amen. So we ought to evangelize into the cities, into the utmost parts of the world. Amen. And then we have the ring finger, which is the husbandman or the pastor, which is actually the weakest finger on the hand, but it's the finger that you put the wedding band on because it's married to the church and I ain't going nowhere. I'm going to stay right here. I wish I had somebody. Then you have the pinky finger, which is the smallest finger, which is the teacher, which means that it gets down in the ear like no other finger on the hand. Do I have anybody in here? Say that I'm going to submit to the hand of God and hear what they have to say so that I may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Y'all with me here? And so he says now, he says, for us to submit or humble ourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that we may be, that he may exalt us in due time. The problem with many of us is that we want God to raise us up right quick. God, I've been in this for 3 months. Raise me up. God, I've done this for 3 years. Raise me up. God, I've been 10 years. Raise me up. But let me tell you something. Moses went 40 years with Egypt, 40 years in the desert, and finally at 80 years old, God wanted to use him. Preach. Abraham, 90, oh Lord have mercy. Do I need to tell you about Abraham, how old he was? He didn't get the call of God until he was around 50 years old that he understood who God really was. Amen. And so we got to understand that sometime God, in his time, he will raise us up. But we got to know that the time will come for him to raise us up, although we may be humbled right now and submitted right now. Just because you got a few more scriptures than me don't give you no right to think that you're better than I am. Just because you know where they are and you can flip your Bible or you can open your app and you know exactly where to go to find the scripture don't mean that you got more authority than I have, because all of us, amen, we are in God the same way. The only one that have real authority is Jesus Christ. He's the head, amen. And so he said that he will exalt us in due time. Many of us don't want to submit. Many of us do not want to surrender ourselves to God. And we got to learn how to surrender. Surrendering means don't have an ulterior motive. Don't have something in your heart that you're trying to manipulate God. Because the Bible lets us know that God knows our heart. Amen. We can't fool God. He sees the wickedness in our heart. And so we need to surrender. How? By coming out with our hands up. And saying, Lord, you can use me however you want. Lord, I have nothing in my hand. I have no hidden agenda, but I need you to help me. I need you to show me to be able to do your will. I'm not serving God just so I can get blessed. I'm not serving God just so I can escape hellfire. Many people want fire insurance. They just all they want. I just want fire insurance. I just want to go up there and get baptized so I don't bust hell wide open. That's all we want. But we can't afford to just get fire insurance. I want some insurance with some real benefits. I want to be insured that I have that blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. I wish I had somebody here. I want the kind of benefit from knowing him that when I wake up or if I don't wake up, it's going to be all right. Y'all with me here? Then he says, look at this. He says that he will exalt us in what? Due time. So, you know, one thing I love about God, our time is not his time. Matter of fact, he is not limited by time. God lives in eternity where there is no clocks. You know, it's kind of like the casino. There ain't no clocks, so you stay there longer than you want to stay. I hit somebody there. Eternity has no clock. And God doesn't work on your time clock. He works on his time. Whenever he wants it, he gives us time to manage ourselves. But he don't manage by time. He'll do it whenever he gets ready. And so let's go on. He said, casting your what? Care upon him, for he what? Care for you. But first off, we have to submit to his what? Will. And then we have to submit our worries to him. Amen. Submit your worries. He said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. When we cast our cares, and the Bible says that casting, the word casting means to actually means to throw. It actually means to wrap back and say, I'm casting them as far as I can away from me so I don't have the burden of them. Amen? And so what we ought to do is to learn how to cast them on him, not to be able to go back and retrieve them, but fully give our worries, our anxieties, our cares over to God, because he is the only one that can honestly handle our cares. You thought that you can handle them. You thought that you can do it. You can make it. I'm smart enough, Lord, that if you just show me the way, I'm smart enough to figure it out. You know, I don't want to figure it out. I want the Lord to just work it out. Preach. I don't want to have to try to do anything. I want the Lord. I got faith. I don't have to try to use my muscle to try to muscle this thing and push my way through it. No, I'm just going to praise my way through it. I'm just going to worship my worries away. Do I have anybody here? He said, cast your care upon him, for he care for you. The word care means all your anxieties, all the things that worry you, all the things, notice what the other word that it means, all the things that set you back. It's some things that get in your way, all the things that distract you, everything that distracts you, you need to make sure that you give them over to God. Amen. We need to learn how to give our distractions to God. And many times we don't give our distractions to God. We bring our distractions to church and we sit there and we're sad because we're distracted, or we're mad because we're distracted, or we're angry. We have an emotion because our thought is on our distraction and our thoughts are not on God. Thank God for grace, because if you came in his presence before Jesus and you didn't have your mind right, he would automatically just take you out. So I'm so thankful for the grace of God, because there have been times I've come in the house and it's supposed to be in worship and I'm in worry, and we got to stop worrying when it's time to worship and decide for ourselves that we're not going to let this worry distract us, but we're going to give it over to him. You can't make no more money. You don't know where it's going to come from, but let the Lord be God, and if he don't give you no more money, don't worry, he'll still bring you up in due season, because maybe it's your time to be humble, and maybe it's your time to be submitted. If he don't give you no more friends, maybe it's time for you to make him your friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. Oh, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Do I have any witnesses in the house? We need to learn how to give it to him. And when we learn that our anxieties, our pressures, whatever makes our blood pressure rise, because it pressures us, we need to start giving it over to the Lord. Do you know that people are dying because of worry? People are stressed so much that they're sick because of worry. I told you a few weeks ago all the things that happen when you worry, how your skin starts to mess up with eczema, how your blood pressure and your blood sugar goes out of whack, how you have headaches and stress and all these other things that happens in your life because of worry. We need to learn how to let it go. If you don't let it go, your hair begins to let go. If you don't let it go, your health begins to let go. Y'all with me here? I'm trying to tell you that we don't worry because he cares. So we need to submit our worries. He says, cast your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Now, the word care in the first part of that verse and the word careth in the second part are two different things. The word careth means that he will provide. So when you give him your worries and you give him your anxieties, he begins to provide for you based on what you actually need. See, some of us, we worry about stuff that we don't need. Preach. We worried about how the cable bill is going to be paid. You don't have to have cable. Lord have mercy. We worried about how we're going to maintain our status. You don't have to maintain a status. The only one status you need to maintain is being a child of God, being a believer, being in Christ. Do I have anybody? Y'all with me now? And so he says that he will provide for us if we show him and give him the worries or the anxieties. God has an antidote. He has an answer for whatever it is that we might be going through. For he will provide. And that word provide or that word carry is not that he just provide one time. That means that presently, every time you get to a situation, he continues to provide for you. He continues to open up doors for you. He continues to make ways for you. But you have to trust him and believe that he will do exactly what he said he'd do. He said he'll never leave you nor forsake you, and he'll be with you even until the end of the world. You got to trust that. He said that he'll be there. He said that when the enemy comes in like a flood, that the Spirit of God will lift up a standard. You got to trust that even though it seemed like I'm sinking and I'm over my head with worry, that God will lift me up. I wish I had somebody. Thought y'all said you wasn't going to be cold. He says that he cares for you. So submit your will, submit to his will, and submit your worries to him. Verse 8 says, be sober. Uh-oh, that's a problem now. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh seeking whom he may devour. Look at this here. He says for us not only to submit, but to stand. Stand and be sober. Amen. To be sober and to be vigilant. In other words, we need to have a clear mind. You can't afford to be intoxicated. And I'm not talking about just alcohol or drugs, but I'm talking about intoxicated in the things that you're dealing with. So much that you don't know how to think. You can't get your balance in life. You hear what I'm saying? You know, a person that's intoxicated, a person that's under the influence, they don't always have balance. Right? And you can't have balance in life if you are intoxicated with the things that are happening around you. Amen now. He says, be sober, be clear-minded, and look at this, be vigilant means to be courageous. I know that I'm going through some stuff, but I'm willing to stand here. I know that I'm dealing with some things, but I'm going to stand. Having done all the stand, stand. We have to stand against the wiles of the devil. Stand against the things that the enemy bring our way. But I can't do it if my mind is not clear. If my mind is cluttered with worry, if my mind is cluttered with fear, if my mind is cluttered with frustrations and things that I just want to give up, then I can't be sober and vigilant. I can't get clear direction because my mind is not clear. Amen now. He says, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. When we look at that word adversary, the word adversary, when we start to look at it, we got to understand that our opponent or our enemy, he's our enemy. You can't keep prancing around with the devil, patty caking with the devil, trading out with the devil, hanging out with the devil, being the devil, a friend of the world, an enemy of God. We can't continue to be a friend of the devil because we're afraid that as long as I don't offend him and make the devil mad, maybe he won't attack. He's going to attack based on the word, not because of friendliness. He's a snake anyway. I don't care how long you carry a snake. I don't care how you warm up a snake. A snake is a snake, and he'll bite you in due time. Preach. We got to understand that just because we don't offend the devil don't mean that he's not going to touch us. He's not going to come after me if I don't say that. Oh, I'm going to tell you, if you receive any word, if you know anything about Jesus, he's coming. Oh, come on and say amen now. He is our opponent. He's our opponent. Especially, this word especially means an opponent in a court of law in a lawsuit. That's what that word actually means. It means an opponent in a court of law, especially in a lawsuit. In other words, he's trying to take all you got. He's trying to strip you from what you have. He's trying to take things that you inherited. Anybody ever had to go to court over something that you inherited? That somebody want to take, some collector? Amen? Oh. He said that he's not only that, but he is the devil, which means the accuser of the brethren. He wants to accuse you in the court to the judge, who is God, that you're not worthy of what God has blessed you with. Y'all with me now? I think I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. But he wants to accuse you of not living up to the part that you're supposed to play to inherit the things that God has given you and how he has blessed you. Anybody ever been falsely accused? Didn't it anger you? Didn't it make you mad? Well, then we need to be mad at the devil, because he is the father of all accusations. He is the father of lies. I wish I had somebody now. And so he's saying to us, he said that because our enemy, the accuser, the one who's trying to tell you to have, he said that person right there, he says he is as a roaring lion. Now here's the problem with the whole roaring lion situation, is that the reason why he roars is so that he can induce fear in your heart. He wants to induce fear in your heart. So before you see him, he roars. Do you know that a lion mostly roars at night? That's why it seemed like when you're going through your night season, it seemed like one thing after the other, because the devil's roaring. I wish I had somebody. Do you know that a lion, he can roar at the nighttime when everything's quiet, and they can hear his roar for up to 5 miles. Sometimes the devil is not even close to your house and he roars, but you are scared anyway. He wants you to be fearful, because he knows if he can induce fear, then you won't have faith and you can't trust God, and then God is not present to help you, and at least you don't think he is, and so then he can do whatever he wants to do in your life. Help me now. The devil, he is as a roaring lion. He wants you to be afraid, so he lets you hear him first. But if you were hearing God first, you wouldn't care about the roar, because you know that he is a very present help. Oh, my God, today. You'll know that he'll be a fence all around you. You'll know, oh, come on and say, man, that the Lord is your strong tower and the righteous run to it and they're saved. You'll know that the Lord is the strength of your life. Whom shall you fear? I wish I had somebody in the house. You'll know that even in the midnight hour, when the nighttime comes and the lion begins to roar, you'll figure out the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid when the wicked, even my enemy, the devil, when he come my way, he stumble and fail. I wish I had a few people in the house that say, I know he stumbled and fell because he got close enough. I could hear him breathe, but the Lord was on my side. Anybody in here feel like David? If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, where would I be? Trying to help somebody here. He said a roaring lion. Didn't say a biting lion. You know why he can't bite? Because he'd been defanged by Jesus. Jesus had been his orthodontist for a while. About 2,000 years ago, he pulled his teeth, and now he can't bite you. He can scare you. Y'all with me here? Oh, I feel it getting a little warm in my, right here where I am. I don't know about where you are. Oh, my God. Will you stand? But look at this. He says, seeking whom he may devour. Who does he seek? He seeks all of us. Remember, the Bible says that when the sons of God, the book of Job, the sons of God came to present themselves to God, that the devil came also among them. Do you know that we can come to church and the devil can try to come with us? He come in here to distract you, to keep you from worship, keep your mind on something else when it should be on God. Keep your mind in your prayer. You can be praying and your mind can be on something else. Keep you disengaged, amen, from being able to engage God, amen. And so the enemy is there, and he wants to keep you disengaged and keep you from being able to engage God like you should, so that you can receive what God has. But so he's seeking whom he may devour. But you need to say, I ain't the one to be devoured. I ain't the one to be devoured, because I'm connected to him. I'm connected. I'm in Christ. And if you're going to get me, you got to come through Jesus. Oh, come on and say amen. So he's seeking whom he may devour. And you know what the lions do? If you ever watch the Discovery Channel, you'll find out that lion will lie and wait and wait and wait until he see an animal come, you know, going about his business and getting away from the herd. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes that's why when we come in here collectively, the enemy can't really do anything to us, because we together and we got some strength. Oh, yeah, we'll be on him. If he come in here, we'll cast him out. Am I right about it? And so safety is in the multitude. And so we need to be in the multitude, or the multitude of the believers. And so if you ever get out of that, he's going to devour you. Amen. And so he says he's seeking whom he may devour. And so what the lion does, he waits. And as soon as one of them go off a little bit and go astray, then he attacks and he takes him, and he quickly tried to give a death bite to the neck to suffocate him and to kill him.